Welcome to the PA Podcast. On this edition of the Interview Spotlight, I was lucky enough to chat with Bill Linden, retired art director of the Chicago Sun-Times, and is currently a gag writer for comic strips such as SHU, BC, and The Wizard of Id. Listen in as he tells us some enjoyable, funny stories out of his life.
He started as a graphic designer, art director for the Chicago Sun-Times. Tell me about that.
All the way in 1969, they had newspapers back then. Not computers, though, so we had to play solitaire with real decks of cards. That's how hard it was back then.
Real newspapers?
Real newspapers.
Oh, my God.
And graphics back then weren't really that strong in newspapers. So I was kind of in on the ground floor with that, and I got to do, lucky enough to do color fronts like fashion, food, TV, previews, stuff like that, and really grew into it. And then I really loved doing that, and then computers came and ruined my life.
Oh, that's a shame.
It was. But I was there for 26 and a half years. I love newspapers. I love newspaper people.
Great. That's a long time. That's fantastic. And you did a little bit of Hollywood screenwriter.
In 1996.
All right.
My wife had been at her job. She worked in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly, a headhunter called her from Paramount Pictures and asked her to become the head of marketing over there. She said, "Do you want to quit your job and come with me?" And I said, "Okay." So in a moment of madness, we both quit our jobs and moved to Hollywood. It
wow.
didn't work out that great for her, but it did for me. I loved L.A., and I got to show people around Paramount and the lot and try to write several screenplays. I went to screenwriting boot camp for six weeks.
Fantastic.
That I didn't get a script out of that, but
well, you tried.
The main thing was I would take people on the infamous L.A. tour. The highlight being I would take people to Nicole Simpson's house and then drive to O.J.'s in under 6 minutes. Try to drive in under 6 minutes. And I made it every time.
Ah, fantastic.
Oh, so then we came back, and then a fellow named Jeff McNally, he's a Pulitzer Prize winning editorial cartoonist. He had started the SHU comic strip in 1977. He wasn't doing too well. He was sick, and one of his ex-wives said, "Why don't you send him some jokes, because he's really not into this." So I did, and he really liked my stuff, and I had known him before, like in the mid-80s.
Okay.
And then we sort of parted ways, and friendly. Just, you know, he moved to Washington, and I lost track of him.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He liked what I did, and unfortunately passed away in 2001. And so then the decision was, do we kill the strip? And then Susie McNally, his widow, Chris Cassette, and Gary Brookins, who draws the strip, Chris is the producer of the strip, they said,
right.
"You know, let's get it going, and let's keep it going and see what happens. We can always not keep it going." And so we did, and we've done it now for 11 years, and we're pretty proud, and we think that Jeff would be proud of what we've done. So,
well, fantastic.
He really was a great guy, and we do miss him. We all miss him.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So how did you think you could write gags? I mean,
I've always, even when I was at the Sun-Times doing the graphics and stuff, I loved writing, and I would write some funny pieces from time to time, and they'd publish it in the paper, and I got such a kick out of that. And I've always been, you know, a goof, so for me, for like a screenplay, you have to have 120 pages. For a comic strip, you need two or three panels, which is perfect for my attention span, because it's very short.
Exactly. Well, that's pretty cool. It's, I mean, to be able to do that in your retirement, I just find that amazing.
It beats working for a living.
Oh.
And, you know, I get such a, honest, after 11 years, Brian, I still, every morning, I don't check it in advance. I wait till the day the papers come out, and I see if it's mine. And what it is, I still, after all this time, I know the day's going to be a good day. I just have a good feeling about it. So.
Well, great. That's fantastic.
I write 70 new ones a week. And
70.
15 they should have bought.
Oh,
so every Saturday I send 85. And out of them, you know, I'm lucky if they pick, you know, five or some weeks they don't pick any because there's three other writers. So, but a week that I get like five or six, I really, really love those weeks. I'm very smiling then. So,
I would bet. And now you told me you also write for a couple other comics strips.
Yes. BC, that's the one with the cavemen.
I've known that for years. Yeah.
And Wizard of Id, which is the medieval people.
Okay.
And those are made by the Johnny Hart family.
Okay.
And Johnny Hart passed away, I think about 3 or 4 years ago. And they contacted my shoe people and said, do you mind if Bill writes for us?
Wow.
So my shoe people said, do you want to write for them? And I said, sure, if you don't mind. So that's how I got that. I guess I specialize in guys that pass away and then try to keep the strip going. So it's a very small niche, by the way, you know.
You kind of fill in the shoes there.
Yeah, right.
No pun intended, you fill in the shoe.
Right. But the like the shoe people, the BC and Wizard Men people are such, they're just a joy to work with. So, I mean, I'm very lucky to work with them. And, you know, they never tell me what to do. Whatever I send them is fine. And they don't say, write this joke or write that joke. They never do that.
Just kind of let it open and you can
Right. Be
free for them. And just your, and then they either accept it or reject it.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That sounds like so much fun.
And then, you know, the check comes, I still can't believe somebody's paying me.
Exactly.
Don't tell them, but I would do this for free. But don't tell them.
Shh.
Okay. America, don't tell them.
Hey, we'll edit this out of the podcast.
Okay.
We want nobody to know that
no one knew this
for free. Oh, I would probably do it for free, too, if I was in your shoes. But, oh, how fun is that? Some of those 50 things I found quite interesting. And we probably won't go through all 50, but I got a few. There's a few here that I think are kind of interesting.
Okay. And I'm ready. I'm braced and I'm ready.
You're braced and ready. Okay. And if you have some you prefer to talk about, that's cool.
But, oh, no. I know each one of those 50. So.
Okay. Okay.
You won't hear any I can't recall if you mention them. So.
Okay. Well, number 5 jumps off at me right now. It says, I danced on John Belushi's grave in Martha's Vineyard. Tell me about that.
I danced on John Belushi's grave in Martha's Vineyard.
And that's the story?
That's it. No. Well, I do. I like to, like the L.A. things, I do like to go visit unusual places. And we were there, and I said to my wife, I've got to, you know, because there's a famous SNL skit where he dances on all of their graves.
Right.
That he's going to be the last one, you know. So I thought, I got to go dance. Like, it's my density. I have to go dance on his grave. So I did. Somebody had left a Budweiser. Get a Budweiser there. It's pretty funny. And so I did the dance around it. Then I find out it's not the real grave.
Oh.
The real grave is back in the cemetery. They have this fake grave. So idiots like me would go around dancing. And, you know, I should have known. It's right. As soon as you come in the gate, that's where it is. Big, you know, it might have arrows. John Belushi's grave, dance here, idiot. You know, so.
That's funny. That is funny.
So it's like I danced on a fake grave. I guess I should change that. But it was a thrill.
We won't tell anybody, okay?
Okay.
And then number 6, I drunk champagne from a strange woman's shoe at Arnie's nightclub and stole the shoe. What is that about?
Well, that's pretty much Arnie's, unfortunately, is no longer with us, as many of them.
What is Arnie's?
Arnie, you know, it's a nightclub kind of thing.
Okay. Nightclub in Chicago?
Yes, in the Rush Street area, which is a hot area, still is. Now it's called the Viagra Triangle, because all your Viagra-type people are hitting on the young women, so that's the new name of the Viagra Triangle now.
Okay, I see.
But
so what happened?
I ended up primed at my favorite place, Ricardo's, and we usually ended up in the Rush Street area later. And it's just one of those things where you're drinking and everybody's drinking. And you know, I got it in my head, well, I want to drink champagne out of a woman's shoe. So we ordered champagne. I did drink it out of her shoe. And then I do regret this. I stole the shoe. You know, we're laughing about it, but I think I never thought, you know, oh my God, how is she going to get home? How is she going to explain it to her husband, because she was married?
Oh, no.
How do you come home without a shoe? So I always wondered what happened on that one. I don't have the follow-up for that for you, sorry. But somebody, somewhere, some husband's going, remember the night you came home without a shoe?
Somebody knows the story. Oh, that's funny. Let me see here. We've got...
The newspaper truck? Feeling the newspaper truck?
Yeah, tell me about that.
That's a good one. And this is... Where do you live?
I live in Orlando, Florida.
Do you have newspaper trucks?
I think there might be a few still out there.
All right, you want to steal one of these, because I'll tell you why. It's like the world's biggest go-kart.
Okay.
All right, so I had gone to Ricardo's. It's funny how so many of these stories that you're going to ask me about started at Ricardo's. So I was at Ricardo's, had about four martinis, and I'm going right around the corner, which is Billy Goat's, which was made Belushi again. That's where his skit about cheeseburger started.
Oh, okay, cool.
That skit is from that place. So I'm walking, but usually I would get my cheeseburger after my martinis. That was my normal thing. And I see a Sun-Times truck there, and it's got the keys in it. And my brother, Rockin' Ronnie, was doing a DJ business at that time, and he needed a truck. So in my state, I said, I'm going to take the truck, bring it to his home, we'll get cans of spray paint, paint it, he'll have a new truck, and no one will ever know it's a Sun-Times truck. So I start it up, I press on it, so it's a... Like a go-kart, it's got an accelerator and a brake. So I step on it, and because there are no papers in there, it takes off like a rocket. I'm going, holy crap. So I go to the first stop sign, I turn right. I go to the second stop sign, I turn right, and I go, maybe this isn't a good idea after all. So I do one more right, and I'm back in front of Billy Goat. I shut it off, I start walking away, and I hear, hey, you! I turn around, it's a truck driver. He goes, what are you doing? I go, oh, it's okay, I work for the Sun-Times. So he looks me up and down. He's wondering whether I'm important or not. And he goes, oh, yeah? Well, if there's anything wrong with this truck, blah, 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 blah. So I go, oh, yeah? Well, maybe your boss wants to know why you would leave your truck out here with the keys in it so any drunk can walk by and steal it. And he says nothing. So I walk away alive on that one. But it's really amazing to drive one of those things.
Oh, that's a funny story.
So I recommend you having four martinis and borrowing a truck.
Okay, borrow. I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind. Okay, I've got to ask you this one.
Okay.
It's the very next one. After
okay.
This, you partied with James Brown in the lobby of the Fairmont Hotel in Chicago?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Tell me about that.
Well, he had played a show there at the Moulin Rouge was the name of the club there. And I got a very good friend of mine. His name's John Downs. We call him Downsy. He's a great illustrator. He would do the just straight illustrations. And he was our courtroom artist, too. So, I mean, he even went to, he did the Gacy trial. I have an original John Downs of Gacy staring. I've got it framed and hung up. It's really cool. I got to give the guy credit. He used his press pass and got up to James Brown's room somehow. And he came back down and talked to us. He goes, so what did he say? He said he'll come down and join us later. I go, you know, we all go, yeah. 15 minutes later, he comes down, and we had been told we can't play the piano in the bar area.
Right.
That it wasn't allowed. But once Mr. Brown walked in,
look out.
He sat down at the piano with us. Then it was okay. James Brown could play the piano. And we had like a half hour with him, and he was duetting on the piano with another friend of mine.
How amazing.
And it's just, Brian, it's one of those nights that you get home and you say...
You pinch yourself and say, what the hell?
Right, did this really happen? I mean,
yeah.
It was about a week, and I was thinking, man, what a night. I have such great friends. I've had so many great times, and now I have lunches with my Facebook ladies and berries and babies, and I just treasure these times.
Yeah, you've had some really fun.
When are you coming to Chicago so we can?
I know I need to
have
get
lunch
up.
At Miller's Pub.
That's
my
there.
Place. That's my new hangout now because Chicago's closed.
Well, are you buying?
Sure.
If not, I will.
The airfare or the lunch?
The lunch.
Yes, I'll buy the lunch.
I wouldn't expect the airfare, but I'd love to come up there and meet you.
Well, come June 9th, because I love Facebook.
Yeah, and tell us what's happening in June. Yeah.
Right, June 9th is Beanapalooza 3.
Beanapalooza, I heard a lot about that.
Yes, 2 years ago, I said, you know, I want to meet some of these people on Facebook that I, you know, I know them by their comments, but I want to meet them. I want to touch them. I want to see what they're like.
Exactly, exactly.
So I said, I'm going to have a picnic at the Bean. The Bean is a $12 million sculpture that looks like a gigantic chrome jelly bean, and it's in Millennium Park.
Okay.
And I said, I'm going to have people meet at the Bean, and everybody will bring their own lunch. You know, I don't want any, the only thing I want to do is get these people together. And,
right.
You know, bring your lunch, wear a funny hat, come down. And we got about 55, 60 people, enough where I'd have Beanapalooza 2. And so I did that last year. We got about 80 or 90 people.
Keeps increasing.
And so we're going to do it again this year. And it's just people love it. They love meeting different people. They become Facebook friends from it if they haven't originally. And, oh, I have to give Susan Amati a credit for naming Beanapalooza. So I did put, you know, what should we call this thing? And she came up with Beanapalooza. So I must give her credit for that. And it's... You use this, please say her name on the air of the podcast.
Surely will. We
thank you.
Will.
Yeah, and yeah. So we're really looking, and it gets bigger and better every year. And last year was great because we didn't know this, but the zombie walk was scheduled for the first day and they were meeting at the Bean. But the zombies weren't starting until 3 o'clock. So around 12:05, we see our first zombie. And more, one of my friends says to me, Mr. Bill, is he one of ours? And I go, I don't think so. And more zombies kept coming and more kept coming.
Did you have zombies following you, dude?
Right. So we're taking pictures of them. They're really nice people. We're interacting with them. And so it just, and a lot of weddings in June. So you have a lot of wedding parties that show up at the Bean. And then what is the Latino celebration? I always want to say quesadilla, but it's something like that. It's where a young Latino woman has her party. I think when she's 15. And they come all dressed up, too. So we get a lot of great pictures out of this. It's a lot of fun. You have to come.
Great. I might, that's in June, right?
Yeah, June 9th.
June 9th.
Noon to 3 p.m. And I do it that weekend because it's Blues Fest and Old Town Art Fair. So
I'll look into doing it. I really will because it's I'd love to meet you in person.
Oh, I'd love to meet you, too.
Yeah.
We have people come from California. Is our far furthest. She's come every year, so
wow.
She wins with the distance.
There you go. I got one more of these I want to ask.
Okay.
You were outside of Grauman's Chinese Theater the day Al Pacino imprinted his hands and signature in cement?
Yes. And
really?
Frank Sinatra's funeral.
Tell me
not
about...
To say, it was not the same day.
Well, tell me about this.
All right. We'll do Frank last. But I walked... We were within walking distance of Grauman's Theater, and I read in Variety, that's another law, you have to read Variety every day, that Al, he's my favorite actor, so...
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Well, I've got to go, you know, so I did, and I, you know, they have all these barricades set up where you can't walk on Sunset Strip, but they call us the looky-loos, the people, so they have areas for us there. It wasn't Oscars where they didn't have bleachers set up, you know, they just had to pinned off.
Right.
And, boy, he's a short little guy, I'll tell you. And he comes waving everybody, you know, the crowd goes crazy. And
yeah, cool.
I saw him do that. So, And then for Frank Sinatra's funeral, this was really fun because, oh, I guess I was interviewed before.
Ah!
So I'm there with a friend of mine from Chicago. She had come to visit and was lucky enough because she loved Frank, too. And I go, well, we've got to go to the funeral. And she goes, of course we do. So we do. I have my camera with me. So I see this guy with a microphone. He was from San Diego. And I said, can my friend take a picture of me and you while you pretend to interview me? And he goes, why don't I interview you? I said, okay. So he does. She takes a picture. His first question is, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I love Mrs. Sinatra, and I just wanted to pay my respect. But that, they kept us, you know, off to the side on that one, too. The looky-loos again.
Oh,
is what they
the
call
lookies.
You in California.
Yeah.
And we saw Liza Minnelli. She was out in her chubby days. We thought she had stepped out for a ding-dong, you know, or a toasted snowball, but she had just stepped out for a smoke. And we go, Liza! And she'd wave to us and we'd go crazy.
Oh.
I'm glad I was there. And well,
that
glad
was
I got
fun.
The picture.
Yeah. That'd been, lots of
they don't
fun.
Make them like him anymore.
Oh, I tell you. Oh, and I've got one more of these I've got to ask you about because she's I'm a big fan of hers.
Okay.
You said, I have kissed Goldie Hawn's hand.
I have.
I love Goldie Hawn.
Her
how,
hand.
How did
like
you do
butter.
That? How did you do that?
She's so adorable.
She is.
Well,
she's a sweetheart.
When my wife, you know, I'd be invited to all these big shot parties at Paramount, and I would get to meet all these people, and because my wife and I have different names, she said I could talk back, that was back in my drinking days too. That's how all those other events happened, by the way. She said I could talk to anyone as long as I didn't tell them who I was with.
Okay.
So I was free to do whatever I wanted. So I saw Goldie, I made a beeline right towards her. Kurt is having dinner, so he's sitting down. And I say, oh, Miss Hawn, and I kiss her hand.
Oh, my God.
And I almost have my arm on Kurt's shoulder, you know. And I did find out, if you tell Miss Hawn how much you love her and how talented she is, she'll talk with you for quite a while.
Really?
So that's what I did. I mean, Kurt was about on the entree yet, and she's still with me, this doofus, you know. So it was great. She is so adorable. She just...
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of hers. And, you know, since Laughing Days, I mean...
Oh, yeah. You know, if you tell me you're going to come to Vina Palooza, I'll try to get her there.
Will you?
Boy, wouldn't that be great?
Goldie
Hawn goes to Vina Palooza. We probably get on the map now. Then.
Right. Meets Tag and Bill. Bill and Tag, yes. That would be fun. I've enjoyed this quite a bit, actually.
I'm glad.
Yeah, you're a great person to talk to, and you're a gentleman, a scholar, and not anything those other people said about you.
Thank you so much for thinking of me, and I'm looking forward to meeting you someday.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ben.
Okay, take care.
Thank you for listening to the PA Podcast Interview Spotlight with Bill Linden. A special shout out goes to Susan Amati, inventor of the term being a palooza. Have a great day, folks, and we'll see you next time.